Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
We're studying from Canaan, lessons from Canaan, what we learned about God and about our walk with God through what the early Israelites or the Hebrews went through when approaching Canaan. And we have learned several things. First of all, we learned that God will get you where you want to, you need to go. And he did that, first of all, by blocking off the Jordan River and putting an invisible dam up about 25 miles away from where they would cross. And he granted them access to the territory near Jericho. Also, we find out that God will save those who save his. And that's the story of Rahab the harlot, that she partnered with God's people. And even though she wasn't part of God's people, she doesn't want enough Hebrew heritage, that eventually she became in the lineage of Jesus Christ. We also learned then soon after that it doesn't matter what your heritage is, your actions do matter, and you don't take what for yourself what belongs to God. That's the story of Achan. God said, I want the first fruits, those belong to me, and that's not such a big deal. I know that's money in our mind, and we think about that, but God gave us everything. He gave me life and breath and all things, and if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have anything. I remember I used to work and the guys would, I would say, thank you, God, and I pray for my food. Why are you thanking him? I said, he gave it to me. He said, you worked for it. He gave me my job. Well, you got it. He gave me breath so I could have my job, and eventually they'd run into a roadblock there. But we give to God and we honor him with the first fruits. And then we have also learned that we need to keep a clean heart. God wants us to keep a clean heart and then make memorials in our life. We saw where they took stones out of the river and stacked them on the west of Jordan so they remember God's deliverance. They made a memorial in the middle of the river. They made a memorial over Achan's grave when he died. They made a memorial over after they won over the city of Ai. The next thing we understand is we need to remember the commandments of God. There were at least three times upon entering into and early in the conquest of Canaan land, they rewrote the law in stone. So it wasn't like, you know, they just typed it out on their iPad. No, they were waiting and they could hear the chipping of stone and they're rewriting the law in stone. And after Ai, they're walking through between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and there is a group of priests on one side and a group of priests on the other side, and one group is shouting out the cursings if they don't obey the law, and another one is shouting out the blessings. We need to remember there are consequences. There are blessings and there are cursings if we don't follow God and don't make any covenants with the gods of this world. We studied last week or 2 weeks ago about the Gibeonites. And they made deals with them, and God said, don't make deals with them. But then once we make a deal, we keep our word. And so what's crazy about that is that God worked with them even after they disobeyed him because they renewed their commitment to God and they moved on. And we read last week about the miracles, how God even worked with them in battle, and he threw rocks out of heaven while the sun stood still when Joshua said, moon and sun, you stand still. So the encouragement last week was, hey, it doesn't matter how many times you've fallen, if you've gotten back up, then God's with you. So don't let your past failures grind you into the ground. Say, okay, I'm brand new in Christ Jesus. You don't have to get baptized 58 times. If you want to tonight, I'd be glad to because it's freezing cold. Maybe that'd shake you up. But we don't have to do that. And then we decided that what we need to do is go fight. Just get up, go fight. Go fight the enemy. And so tonight, we are taking a little bit of a twist, and this is probably the last lesson that we're going to teach out of Lessons from Canaan, and the lesson title is Take It All. Sometimes we don't take everything God's given us. We don't take advantage of the opportunity. We don't move into the territory that God has asked us to move into. And I think every one of us momentarily have been guilty of that. As we're worshiping God in the service and the preacher's preached and he's encouraging us to surrender it all and we give up most all. Or we're in prayer and then we begin reading the word and God says, go do this, and we do half of what he told us to do. And God's saying, no, go for broke. It's all or nothing. And we've got to live our lives that way. So we're going to see what happens to Israel. Israel, it said in Joshua chapter number 11, verses 18 and 19, and Joshua made war a long time. Everybody say a long time. A long time with all those kings. Not a city made peace with the Israelites except the Hivites, the people of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. So we see that they went in, and even after Ai, there's a lot of details left out, but there are enough to let us know their battle strategy. And then they went city by city by city, and they just kept on attacking the enemy. And they only made peace with one. They learned their lesson. Don't make deals with the devil. Don't make deals or pacts or covenants with the people of the land. We're not here to make peace with our world. We're here to bring the message of peace to our world. And that's a big difference, because the carnal mind is enmity with God, right? It's at a state of war. So this is the struggle sometimes we have. I'm going to put it this way, because this is understandable in the place we're at in our culture. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody or make anybody feel proud. So we have a pandemic going on, okay? So we're told everybody's going to die, or most everybody's going to get it, and this is horrible. And I know people that have died from it, no disrespect, and I'm not calling into question their faith, but this is what happened, is we get a barrage of information, and if we feed our logic more than we do our spirit, the logic's going to take over and override the spirit. And even if the logic says we're going to be dead, and God's trying to say, you shall not die, but you will live, we'll run right over the top of the miracle that God wants to give us. So we got to be careful that we listen to the right voices. That's what happened with Israel. They fought for a long time. Everybody say a long time. A long time. This isn't about 6 weeks after you got the Holy Ghost. This is about endurance. I mean, Sister Marge, how long ago since you got the Holy Ghost? How many years? Okay, she has my 15. She's 49 now. She's doing great. It was 51 years ago that I got the Holy Ghost. That's a long time. That's an endurance race. It's like, huh? You write it down, huh? It's like you weren't even thought of, were you? It's like God was already working in my life. And sometimes it's just about grit. It's about getting up every day and doing the right thing. It's about consistency, and I'll try to fix that. I think it's me, sister. So in Joshua chapter number 13 and verse number 1, we come to a defining moment in the nation of Israel and their conquest of Canaan's land. It says, and now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains much land yet to be possessed. And I spelled that wrong, not let to be possessed, but yet to be possessed. So God's saying to him, you're old, but there's still some work today. And the one translation says, you're well advanced in years. He says, but there's still some territory. It doesn't matter how long you're living for God, there's some gain to be gotten. So if you're retired, you may be retired from your secular job, but we don't retire from following Jesus. We still pursue him. We still have value. One of the beauties about Portland Pentecostals, and it's been this way from almost the beginning, we've had people in their 20s and people in their 60s, 70s, now 80s. So you've had people that are brand new to living for God, and you have people that have been living for God 40, 50, 60 years. They have something to offer. Sometimes you just being there is a witness to somebody that they will be able to quote David's verse, I was young and now I am old and I've not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. And I can say that now. And so I know and understand that I can make it. And just telling some of the things that you've experienced in your life, your testimony is wonderful. Just look at what's happening during this dispensation or this time period. I was talking to Sister Vernie Pence. Now, Sister Vernie is more than 18 years old. And she just had a birthday. And I asked her, I said, are you worried about this? And she says, oh, are you kidding? I remember in 1959 when there was a pandemic and she told me how many millions of people died. And she said, I'm fine, and we survived it, and we will survive 1969. There was a pandemic, and then there was H1N1, and there's been pandemics of all kinds throughout our world. And so she said, I made it through that. I'm going to be fine now. And I think that's the beauty of living for God. We move, push through a battle, we can win another battle. So for 5 years, they've been fighting. They've been fighting incessantly, consistently. And he says, but there's still some ground to gain, and all that of the Geshurites. And then in verse number 3, he says, from Sihor, which is the east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron, northward, which is counted as the Canaanite, the five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdodites, you notice the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, and the Avites. And some of those you'll notice, Gaza and Ashdod and some of those. From south, all the land of the Canaanites and Merah that belongs to the Sidonians, as far as Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites. And then in verse 5 and 6 we read, the land of the Gebalites and all Lebanon toward the sunrise from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon, as far as the entrance of Hamath, all the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon, as far as the brook Mizrephoth, and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out before the children of Israel, only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. So God told him, this is all yours, and he had established their inheritance before they even fought for that. He said, this is what you're going to get. Now go out and fight. And they fought for a long time, and God says, hey, there's some more here if you'll fight for it. And then you divide it by lot. The message tonight, the biggest message is there's still more that God has for you and I if we'll fight for it. If we'll slip our armor on, if we'll pick up our sword, and if we'll march forward, there is no end. Remember, of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. One translation says, the energy of the God of the armies of heaven will ensure that this gets accomplished. God's still expanding his kingdom. He's still reaching his kingdom. And so until I breathe my last breath, I can still impact somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes when you breathe your last breath, you impact somebody. I told the story about 6-7 years ago, Sister Johnson from Albany, her daddy was anti-church, criticized her, was angry at her for marrying a preacher. All her life since she came to the Lord, he criticized her. And finally, about 2 years before he died, she convinced him he needed to be baptized in Jesus' name. So he went to church and got baptized. He's like 91 or something like that. So they baptize him. They take him back to the nursing home. And she's down there and visits him. And then she comes home. He's 91 or 92, something like that. And then they find out he's dying. And by the time she gets there, he has already passed away. And so they make arrangements and getting ready for the funeral. And they go into the nursing home or the care home to retrieve his objects. And while she is there retrieving the objects, the nurse says, hey, I got a question. He said, yeah. Oh, what background does your dad have? What do you mean? Where did he come from? Well, from Oklahoma. I mean, they're Okies. They're country people. No, no, where was he born? Oklahoma. Well, what language does he speak? Well, English. Why? She said, all night long, the last night he was alive, he was speaking some other language. I just want to know what it is. That's the Holy Ghost, folks. And it impacted her, and it happened with him. And his last breath affected others. And I remember when I was a kid, there was somebody that happened similar to them. They had already received the Holy Ghost, but they're speaking in tongues right through the night. And it was actually an uncle of mine and a short-tailed relative. And the nurses came to church because they saw and felt something that they had never felt before. And they said, we want to go and see what this is all about. We can impact our world. God has given an inheritance to you and I, and he's set the boundaries, but you and I can decide whether or not we're going to encompass those boundaries. So listen to verses number 12 and 13 of this same chapter. All of the kingdom of Og and Bashan, who reigned at Ashtaroth, and Edrei, who remained in the remnant of the giants, for Moses had defeated and cast these out. Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites and the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwell among Israel until this day. God had promised that, and if you could look at a map, and I should have had it up there. So here's Israel. Here is the, would be the east side of Israel. Here's the west side of Israel. So in the middle there is Jordan River. And on the east side of Israel going into Arabia, that's where Manasseh got their, the half-tribe of Manasseh got their inheritance. Because before they crossed Canaan's border, they fought and they killed Sihon and Og, king of Bashan and the Ashtarites. So they killed them and they divided up the territory. There's two pockets there, one above the other, is Gushran and Maacah. And they're right there, and they didn't drive them out. So right surrounded by Israel is the enemy. Why in the world didn't they kill the guys that were in the middle of them? Because you can see and you can read the story. They slew everybody in the city. Everybody, everybody. Because remember, the Bible says, hey, you're going to live in cities you didn't build. So they had to clear the house, right? They had to evict a few folks. And they did that for 5 years, but now it says they didn't, and they are still here to this day. Now, that doesn't mean to this day, but there was the day of the writing, and we see what happened is eventually David would defeat these enemies during his reign. He would go in there, and we see that's one of the places that his son Absalom ran away to find a refuge. Well, then, once Absalom's killed, he goes in and wipes those guys out because they gave him refuge. And David is the one that later, of course, goes to Jerusalem, because last week we studied about that battle, and it was the king of Jerusalem that organized all those kings to fight against Gibeon, and David beat them all, except our Joshua beat them all, except for Jerusalem, and it wasn't until the reign of David that Jerusalem was defeated. That man after God's own heart put his sword back on and said, okay, a lot of people didn't do what they should have done, but I'm going to take the territory that belongs to us. So here's the timeline. Moses has sent 12 spies into Canaan to confirm its richness. The spies return with their reports. 10 spies declare the impossibilities, and 2 spies are ready to conquer and try to persuade the people to go in right away. But Israel rejects those 2 voices, which are Joshua and Caleb. So Israel wishes that they would die in the wilderness. And guess what? God agrees and pronounces a sentence on them. Be careful what you say. Would to God that we had died in the wilderness. And he said, okay, really? Is that what you want? Okay, you got it. And Joshua and Caleb get an exemption because they both had faith. So Israel wanders for about 40 years in the wilderness. And then during this time and toward the end of it, Moses appoints Joshua as his successor. And they conquer all the territory east of Jordan. And then Moses dies and God buries him somewhere. We don't know where. And actually the enemy, Satan, as we said on Sunday, came to fight over his body. He said, I'm going to take that body. Oh, no, you're not. So they fight over the body, the angel and Lucifer do, but the angel obviously wins. And Joshua leads the Hebrews across the Jordan River, and now they are conquering for 5 years, and then the people tire and determine to rest. But they quit before God was finished. Please, again, don't quit before God is finished. We are a work in progress. We're not going to be what we should be until we awaken His likeness. And until there, God's still working on me. He's still changing me. He's still refining me. He's still giving me things that I need to do. So now, I'm going to read a scripture that seems a little out of place. Now we want to go to our main character on our lesson, and his name is Caleb. I want to show you where Caleb comes from. Caleb comes from Jacob, one of his wives. She conceives again, she bare a son, and she conceived and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing off. This wasn't his favorite wife. This was Leah, okay? This was the wife that shouldn't have been. But it's interesting that when it's all over with, that's who he gets buried with. It's kind of crazy. We think we want something in life, but really, the better isn't what we thought it was. That's a long sermon. Try to explain that. But he comes from the tribe of Judah. So Caleb was of the tribe of Judah, and David would come from the tribe of Judah, and Jesus would come from the tribe of Judah. So these were all praisers. So he's from the tribe of Judah, and that's important because 5 years into this conquering of Canaan's land, we see that Caleb has fought for everyone else. He put everyone else first. That's a spiritual principle. Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. That's old, huh? Jesus and others and you. In the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others you meet face to face. Y is for you and whatever you do. Put yourself last and spell joy. I don't know how many hundreds of times I must have sang that, and I wasn't planning on singing it. It just popped into my brain. But it was a song that they were helping us sing to teach a spiritual principle. Caleb knew what God had promised him, but in leading, he was going to make sure that everybody else got what they needed because he knew God would give him what he promised. You see, we don't have to worry if we pray for somebody else to be healed. If we're sick, we don't have to worry whether a God has enough firepower to heal us. When we're praying for provision and God gives somebody else job or he'll give him financial provision, we don't have to worry that God's going to run out of hard, cold cash. No. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. So we don't have to worry about God's limitations. And so Caleb somehow conceptualized it, and he realized his place as he said, "First, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, food, shelter, and clothing." And so he fights everyone else's battles first. He sharpens his sword, and he keeps dreaming about a place that God has promised to him. And actually, God's promised it to him through the man of God. Isn't that interesting? Is God can speak promises into your life when the man of God's preaching or teaching. He can even speak promises into your life when somebody lays hands on your forehead and begins to pray. Listen closely to what they have to say. Because sometimes I've heard people say it to me, "Hey, well, how did you know? What? You were praying for what I needed. I don't even remember what I prayed for." Because you're just being led by the Holy Ghost. And they've told me you've done the same thing in praying for them. So when I come to that church house, I want to bless and be blessed. And so you look at life that way. I know God's going to take care of me. And And this is something I'm going to say not in an egotistical way or not to make you feel sorry or to be proud, but when my wife and I came to town, we had to give up our car because they wouldn't let us bring it from Canada to here. DOT wouldn't stamp it, the windshield, and then they wouldn't stamp the speedometer because it was in kilometers. And finally I said to the guy, hey, you're not going to approve this. And he said, you're right. I said, okay, I quit. And then we owed more money on it than what it was worth, and I tried to sell it and couldn't sell it. And finally, the finance company called me and said, hey, what are we going to do about this? And I said, well, I'm going to keep paying the payments, but I got to move to the States. He said, why are you going there? And I said, to start a church. He said, I'll take care of that. Never showed up on my credit report. He took the car. I don't know what he did with GMAC. I don't really care. God took care of it, and he provided. And so we didn't have a job. We had beat up old furniture. We didn't have a car or anything. But you can't tell me today that God hasn't made it up to me. And I know that God's not a debtor to anybody. And God, and still it's got to be about putting the kingdom of God first. And that's why my wife and I said, you know, it's Christmas for Christ time, and I'm encouraging you and planting a seed for next year. We're going to give our biggest gift to Jesus. So we figured out how much we spent on everybody and said, well, that, then some, here it is, God, it's yours. And if I spend too much on Christmas, well, that's my fault. God gets more, but he always takes care of it. He is the provider. And it might not happen immediately, but eventually it will happen. So he sharpens his sword and he keeps dreaming and he pushes through every kind of weather and he slipped his armor on day after day after day. Why? Because it wasn't about him, it was about the land. And if they got the land, he'd get his part. See, our culture teaches us, get yours and then worry about everybody else first. No. And you can talk to anybody that's been in charge, that's been a boss, that's managed people. It's the guy that was concerned about the whole project that I'd look at and promote. And it was the guy that were, it's all about number one. Well, when layoff time comes, guess what? Number one is number one. And he goes find a job somewhere else. So God took care of him because he fought for the whole nation. We're 5 years later. And still, this is what's going on in his life. And I did this wrong. There we are. So he's still unsatisfied. And so in Joshua chapter number 14, verses 5 through 18, and we're not going to read all the verses, we find this about Joshua. He comes, or Caleb, he comes to Joshua and says, I was an original spy and I was filled with faith. And Moses promised me the land I walked on. So, give me my mountain. So this is what's cool. The guy who promised him isn't around. But that guy was speaking for God because of the faith that was in that man's heart. And it doesn't matter that the man that spoke was gone because of who he spoke for. I want to say to you, And I'm not defending anybody, and I'm not reaching into somebody's life and making them a horrible person. There are people that prophesied into some of your lives that aren't even living for God anymore. But when they were living for God, and they were on point, and there was a Holy Ghost in unction, they spoke into your life, I want you to receive that. I want you to remember that. And remember, hey, Saul prophesied before he ended up at the witch of Endor. There's no addendum in the scripture that says, and God said everything that Saul prophesied is wrong now. No. It's what we do in the moment for God that counts. Because it's about God. It's about his kingdom. So I want to encourage you. You know, if the guy that put it in this perspective. Anybody have the guy that baptized you die? Guy that baptized me died 20 some years ago. Is my baptism still effective? Oh, yeah. January the 30th, 1967. Now that's ancient history. But Brother Wilson baptized me into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He just says, okay, when I say in Jesus' name, duck. And I ducked about that far. That was enough. Cold old baptismal tank in January in Montana. But my sins were washed away. And it wasn't about whether or not he was perfect or flawless, but he was a man of God and he did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good enough for me. So I think I'm speaking to somebody today, so I hope something's rekindled in your mind. So don't go and rationalize it and analyze it and say, well, he's not president anymore, so he can't do that. God's still God. So he says, give me my mountain. So I'm going to show you a picture of his mountain. You see the white at the top? That's the peak of the mountain. That's Mount Hebron, and that is Hebron down below it. That's modern-day picture of Hebron. So he's walked around Israel. And he hasn't just walked around Israel, but he had fought all over Israel. And I tell you what, there's something about a mountain, you can see it from almost anywhere, can't you? I got this deal when I drive home on Sundays, is we go up over the hill here and down Ridgecrest, and when you're going down Ridgecrest, what's staring you in the face? Mount Hood. And I say this to my granddaughters, there's Nana's mountain. Well, my wife calls it her mountain because every day when she went to school, she got on the bus and she could see as soon as she got on the bus, she could see Mount Hood. And Melina will say, that's my mountain. I said, why? Because I can see it when I go to school. It's my mountain. So I said, I don't know. It's Nana's. Maybe she'll share. And so I told my wife, and this Sunday, she just said, so are you going to share your mountain? She said, nope. But she said, isn't that amazing, Melina, that I could see the mountain going to school? You can see the mountain go. You can see a mountain from almost anywhere. I don't know all the places that Caleb fought around, and he could look up and see that mountain and say, that's mine. Mm-hmm. One day, it's like you saying, one day I'm going to ski. One day I'm going to climb that. One day I'm going to own that. One day I'm going to have a cabin on the mountain. That's my mountain, and she knows great-grandpa can see it from his cabin. Oh, that's grandpa's. No, it's my mountain. And she sees it in her little mind as her mountain. And I think it's part of her personality. It's just the stubbornness that it belongs to her. But I'll guarantee you that Caleb didn't just see that once or twice. But he saw it many times from many vantage points. And from close up and from far away. And he never forgot. Moses said, everywhere you walk, it's yours. And Moses, he didn't have to say, really? Now, I want to tell you where I walk. No, I'm telling you wherever you walk. It's just like God saying to Abram, wherever you walk, it's yours. And from Dan to Beersheba, he built altars and claimed it and named it. And yes, he inherited it, but it wasn't just him. It's the Israelites. So if you look at some of the territory that we read and you took time to examine all of the territory that we see on the maps, that was areas that Abram had walked in. And God said that, I told Abram, yes, that's why you've got to fight for it. So we know that Abram was forcible, or Caleb was forcible. He remembered. He never wavered. Caleb reminded Joshua, and Caleb was 85 years old. And he said, I'm well enough to go to battle, and I'm just as strong when I come back in as when I go out. And we started out with God saying to Joshua, you're getting old, dude. These are buddies, and life is not fair. But Joshua was the voice that spoke to the people, and Caleb was the brawn. And he says, oh, just give it to me. I know I got to fight for it. And God had kept him healthy, and Caleb was always ready. But listen again, Caleb still had to fight for his inheritance. He said, that's mine. And Joshua says, okay, go get it. You're going to have to fight for everything you get. It might be laying down something. It might be giving up something. It might be reaching out to somebody. It might cost you some pocket change or a little bit more. It might cost you great sacrifice. But God will give you what he promised. And as you stand with me, and I'm doing this, and I know we're walking fast, but these notes are online. And if you go on to Portland Pentecostals Church. You can go onto podcasts and you can click on the podcast, and within about 20 minutes after church, the notes will be there too. So you can look through these notes in a PDF file. So here's some facts to know about Mount Hebron. Mount Hebron was significant. This was a consequential battle, and it was a strategic location. And you'll love this one, the next one, because it's misspelled. This was a place of physical giants. See that? Get it? That's me again. Congratulations. This is another interesting thing. This is where Abram built an altar. And we've taught about this recently, where he was in Egypt and he lied about his wife being his sister. And when the king kicked him out, he went back and built an altar here on Mount Hebron. And this was a home of giants in the day, but it would be the home of giants for tomorrow. Because this is where David would first reign as king over Israel. So the territory that Caleb was fighting for, he wasn't fighting for it just for himself. He was fighting for it for David. And by fighting for it for David, he was fighting for Israel, because when David became king in Hebron, he was there 7 years before he finally got the whole kingdom unified and then went and attacked Jerusalem and became king in Jerusalem. So God is promising you things, and what he promises you is not just for you. That's why it's about seeking the kingdom. He could trust Caleb, because Caleb realized, I'm going to run those giants out of there. I'm going to kill those giants. Listen, if it's houses that they lived in, if it's vineyards that they planted, if it's cattle that they raised, don't you think that was one of the best places? They probably had the biggest houses in the nation. They had tall ceilings, man. Vaulted ceilings in all of them. They weren't short guys. And when you look at it, actually, you read the Bible, Goliath comes from the Anakims. That 10-foot, 6-inch guy that David fights later. But because Caleb is willing to fight for everyone, God is willing to give it to him. Again, we say, Caleb still had to fight for his possession. And we read in Joshua chapter number 15 and verse 14, and Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshiah, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. He went and fought at 85 years old. When Joshua was too old, Caleb was still young enough. And here's another lesson. We don't get to choose when we retire. Right? And this isn't a sermon for pastor, you know, but I've often thought of that, you know, because we voted Pastor Anthony in as pastor, and the deal was at 67, we were going to flop positions, and he was going to become senior pastor, and I was going to be youth pastor or something, and he, you know, it was going to be a shift and a change. And then they left, and I have my friend, Brother Sistrunk, he said, well, get used to it. We got an old president. Now we got a real old president, but... Sorry, didn't mean to offend anybody. But we don't choose. But Caleb knew there was still more territory. That's the wonderful thing about living for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell on this. And I know Sister Laura won't care. But she told me when she came to the house of God, she couldn't trust her mom and dad, but she could trust her grandma. Guess who one of the most precious people in this church are to hit her? Sister Marge. She was a grandmother figure. And they think she's grandma. And they treat her like that. And they love her, and she loves them. And she's influenced that family so much for the positive. And she made Sister Laura feel comfortable and could teach her the ways of the Lord, speak things into her life that nobody else could speak into her life. God has a work for you and I to do. So we just need to go out and fight. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's time to take your mountain. It's time to say, I'm going to move on. And while you're waiting, fight for everyone else. Put your armor on every day. Push through every difficulty. Keep your eye on the prize and keep the promise alive in your heart. And how do we do that? We keep our daily devotions current and we meet with each other. Don't you feel like fighting again when you go out? You are so important to me. You make me feel like fighting again when I go out. And I hear your voices and I hear your praise. I see your wonderful face and I feel your hugs and your handshakes. And I said, we're all going the same way. We're not in this alone, but we're in this together. Dear Jesus, put strength in your sweet people. I pray you'd baptize us with courage. Give us the spirit of Caleb. The spirit that says, give me that mountain. Full well knowing that he'd have to fight for that territory. Lord, give us this territory because we're not just fighting for this generation. We may be fighting for 5 generations down the line or 15 generations down the line. Yes, it looks like the end to us, but a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day with you. But we're going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. We're going to lay hold on eternal life. Breathe strength into these, your people, I pray. Bring freshness into their being. And bring strength into their bodies and their spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.